Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hello, everybody. Good morning.
Hey.
Zolak and Bertrand on this Tuesday. We had news yesterday after we got off the air.
Yep.
Another news drop. More details in the case against Robert Kraft and others.
I think more details came out, more so than... Yeah.
Go ahead.
Some stuff dropped yesterday. You know, because, you know, going into it, you're thinking, okay, maybe there wasn't an exchange of dollars. Maybe you actually just got, I don't know, a facial or a massage.
No, or waxing, none of the above, or none of the above and something else.
Or, you know, maybe there's a technicality here. Yeah. That you can get off on, no pun intended. But yeah.
Just gonna let that sit for a minute there.
Mm-hmm. News of the video came out. Yeah. I mean, what are you gonna do?
Well, I mean, we knew about the video though. We knew that was in existence. What we didn't know was what exactly was on the video. Well,
And
those are the answers we got yesterday, and I think this case looks a lot worse today than it did a day ago. Is that fair to say? Because I think it is.
Yeah, I think any time you have, like, God, like, even go to the Ray Rice stuff. I hate to bring Ray Rice up because it's not comparable to stuff, okay? But when the Ray Rice news came out, okay, it's he said, she said, you know, you had the press conference, and all of a sudden, boom, the video hits.
Right.
And you're like... You can't come back from that. You know what I mean? I don't care what Bashotti would say. Or
you're right.
Ray Lewis would say.
If the video is released.
Video evidence is more damning than anything. Look at Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt from last year. When you see him punch and go back and try and kick a woman and she's laying down trying to defend herself, you can't come back from that. That's there. Boom. You're cut. You're fired. Done.
TJ Quinn of ESPN reported 5 minutes ago on this on Twitter. He's been following the case and been covering the case. He had tweeted out yesterday that a law enforcement source believed the video could be coming out and could be in the near future. However, he now tweets just minutes ago, it looks like if the video evidence is released, it won't be soon. Law enforcement originally said it could be as early as this week, but a defense attorney filed a motion to block it, putting everything on hold. There will likely be a hearing to decide. The attorney, Richard Kibbe, who said he does not represent Kraft, is arguing that police never should have been able to get a warrant for video surveillance if it's a human trafficking case and the Johns weren't charged with trafficking. So in this, the police and the sheriff's office have not yet responded, but the status of the video could be tied up for a while. No hearing date has been set at this time. That according to TJ Quinn right now.
Well, key thing is Florida law and the way this thing goes. And supposedly this video has exchanged, you know, hands multiple times, you know, according to people down there covering this case and investigating it. And you know how these things go. Whether you say, okay, you know, we're gonna seal this thing, you know, your attorney's gonna file a motion. You're going to get this thing sealed, and all of a sudden, a month later, somebody gets their hands on it. There's TMZ written sideways across it, and everything's pixeled out, but still you're going to see the most of it. That's how these things go. Eventually, somebody gets their hands on the video, and it gets out.
So now you're in this, you know, pattern of, does it come out? Does the video not come out? Does it stay sealed? All of that. Wouldn't you be worried about it just getting out somehow now illegally?
Yeah.
I mean, that would, if you're in his position, you'd be terrified of that.
Doesn't seem like they have all their ducks in line down there. You know, to
and not to mention, the story changed yesterday, and I feel that most people in our position in the media don't want to talk about what changed in the story yesterday, which I get. I don't want to talk about what happened yesterday. But it went from being just the massage elements of this to more than that.
So I have sort of a new take on this, and I think, you know, as much as there's going to be resistance, and you know, your number one reflex in life, if you do something, is to fight back, you know, and say, okay, I didn't do it, or I'm going to take this thing to the wall. At some point, I think you kind of you got to own it and apologize for it. You know, it's just like it happened. I mean, my God, they only filmed 5 days, and you're there 2 of the 5 days. Like, what luck is that to walk in and not say, hey, he's unlucky? But it happened. I made a bad mistake.
But some of the details in it, though, are so mind-blowing that I don't know how you would consider any other option at this point.
That's what I'm saying. I'm with you. It's hard. It's hard. Like, once this information came out yesterday.
According to the probable cause affidavit yesterday, he visited this massage parlor on Saturday. Right. After leaving the massage parlor, a police officer who was part of the surveillance team performed a traffic stop. Stopped the car.
They asked for the driver's ID. Asked for the passenger.
Asked for the passenger's ID. That passenger being Robert Kraft, who handed over his ID to police, and they confirmed his identity at that time. Now, there's no details about what the conversation was at that time in that car. Just steps, I assume, from the parking lot of this massage parlor. But if you, as a passenger, are getting asked for your ID, something tells you this isn't about a taillight that's out. Okay, there had to have been some level of conversation that would have indicated why it was he was getting stopped and asked for his ID.
Right.
Something.
Like, sir, were you recently at this?
That was Saturday.
Right.
He then went back on Sunday, which is inexplicable. I don't know how you even possibly explain that. And one of the things we said, by the way, out of the 25 guys, by the way, that were charged and were revealed in the last few days, he's the only guy who was there twice, which doesn't look good for him. And I said yesterday, one of the damning things is not that it was a one-time thing, but that he went back. And not only did he go back, but the details of trip number two are far worse than trip number one.
Well, considering what else played out during that day, he went back on day two when we're all in Kansas City.
That was the day of the AFC Championship game. One of the more memorable wins in Patriots history, playoff history, that night. And now this event will be tied to that day as well.
Well, I mean, it's – and now it's – you want to put stuff behind you, and that's the only way that you move forward is, you know, you sort of accept it, you apologize for it, you say, I'm going to do everything I can to help fight, you know, the other end of this, which I hope is really the big thing, is what they're trying to get people on is a human trafficking element of this, right? That's what they keep emphasizing here, that this is a bigger thing, and that it just doesn't stop there, and it's not just a sting hit on one man, you know?
The traffic stop thing, Beetle, I know you brought it up before, we were talking about it last night. It wouldn't have changed anything, but I don't know what the reason was, the reason given by the officer for the stop. We know what the reason was. The reason was to ID the person who had just come out of the massage parlor.
Right.
Right? But he went back after that?
He went back the next day.
Okay. See,
the next morning.
Who took him back? Who drove him? Who was the chauffeur? Who was the person in the
Did
in
that
the
not raise a red flag with any? Were you speeding? People. Did you roll through a stop sign? And it wouldn't have changed anything.
And the passenger is getting asked for his ID.
Already been ID'd, right? And you're already there, already been surveilled there once. So it wouldn't change, you know, what's happening right now. But again, when you're talking about the whole story of what actually went down, it's like, went back again. Even after you were talking to a police officer moments after leaving there. All right. Everything about this, everything we learned about it, just leads me to the hope and the wish that they do whatever it takes to make this thing say, yep, it was a mistake. I did it. Sorry.
Yeah.
You need me to go to a class. Need to pay a fine. Oh, I'm going to be suspended for 4 games, 6 games, 8 games by the NFL. Can't go.
Right.
Oh, that would suck. I'd like to be there for the, you know, presentation, all that stuff. Can't be there. Okay. This doesn't have the the feel of a fight that you want to fight.
He's not facing any real legal consequences. He's not facing
jail. No, it's public
perception. He's not facing anything in a legal sense that should concern him.
It's embarrassment.
What should concern him, and the only thing that is worth, you know, trying to manage and fighting for right now is for publicity's sake, is for making it look as least damaging as possible. And I think if you're going to take this one to the wall, you're only going to make it worse for yourself.
That's the point.
The only thing that you've got right now is to manage the public relations aspect of this. And by taking it to the wall, that is not going
to
help.
Taking it to the wall
is
not
going to help. Because if you've done any level of reading on this case, if you've read that affidavit,
they got you.
It's
done. It's done.
It's not unclear what was happening there.
No.
It's not unclear at all.
Nope.
So if you're managing that aspect of it, and then in addition to that, you're going to manage the process of your punishment handed down by the league, I would take the advice of Daniel Wallach, legal expert who was with us yesterday, and said he should turn around and start negotiating with the league. Call the league. Sit down with Roger Goodell.
And be open, like, this is really what happened.
Hey.
Boom. Here's what happened.
Let's sort this out. Yeah. Let's get the punishment sorted out and let's figure out ways that, you know, while also being punished, I can have some sort of good come of it somehow. You know, whatever, you know, community service or in causes that he takes up or anything like that. Because if you're going to try and, you know, take it to the wall, I just don't see people really, you know, getting behind that or rallying behind that.
That's the reason you love the guy, is the stuff that he does, the humanitarian that he is, the volunteerism, the giving back to the communities, the funding that he gives to his own foundation, to so many others, to what he's done in the area and what he's built here and that brand and what you've come to love and know about this man. I mean, I worked down there. It's tough to talk about this. This is, you know.
I hate talking about it. I hate that it happened. I mean,
think I'm going to change my opinion on Mr. Kraft? No. There's so much good that he's done. And here's another thing, too. What's taking so long for this? I know they need warrants and you need to go through court systems, but if things are so bad, why they let this go on for so long? Why'd they wait to tape? And while they're taping and filming this stuff, why don't you kick a door down and go in and get people if this human trafficking is so bad to you and this is what you're going after?
Well,
Why do you allow this to exist?
There's something out there today about the human trafficking element of it, and I think that's the one stigma that I think is unfair to any of the people that were caught up in it, that they had knowledge of any human trafficking that was going on there. And I think there may even be questions starting to be raised as to whether or not there was any human trafficking taking place at this day spa or any others that were involved. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Maybe he loses a committee assignment. Maybe he pays in some fashion by no longer serving on the media committee or some other committee. But the NFL will have to send some kind of a message, because if they get away with only fining him when this involves a serious case of human sex trafficking, I think the public, the media, sponsors, it will become another PR mess for the NFL. And it would probably be in Robert Kraft's best interest to work out a consensual punishment with Commissioner Goodell, something that rises north of Irsay's punishment, but allows him to come back and be in good standing in the NFL within a year.
Daniel Wallach yesterday here on Zolak and Bertrand, he suggests going to the league and negotiating from the get-go. That's the negotiating that should happen.
It's a big couple months here for the league, too. Like, Combine starts this week, you know, this week. Commissioner's already, Hardy, you saw it, over there at Jim Irsay's house, or Beetle, you saw it, having dinner.
Yeah, this tweet went up a couple minutes ago, I think. I saw it on Twitter. I showed it to you.
Right?
Irsay's house. Jim Irsay tweeted out a picture of him and the commissioner.
Hey,
the
combine for dinner.
Yeah, the combine is happening this week in Indianapolis.
Yep.
And this is sure to be
league meetings, owner meetings. They're all coming up.
Sure to be the topic of discussion among all the people from the league who are there. Coaches.
Free agency starting. You know, visibility.
Front office people. You know this is going to be a topic. And for the second straight year, it will be a very popular topic. Charles Robinson of Yahoo wrote about this yesterday, saying last year, all that was being talked about at the combine was Josh McDaniels blowing off the Colts and turning his back on the Colts. And he said this year it would be Robert Kraft. because it's always the Patriots being discussed.
If there was any wavering about the opening night game, doesn't it have to be Packers-Bears now?
Yes. Yeah.
It can't be the 100th anniversary of the league can't be Patriots now.
Oh, yeah, right? And I think they were leaning that way long before the game.
Right.
And they knew that it was the Patriots.
You want to open up a Kansas
Those
City
reports had
again?
Surfaced before
But if
the
there
Super
was any
Bowl
wavering back and forth, either way, this would be the nail in the coffin probably for it.
Probably
right?
I want the Thursday night opener. Probably. I want it. I think it's too quick. It's right out of the blocks. They'd probably give you a team like the Chiefs where you could get popped in week one. And I think week one, week two, week three, obviously the way this team started the last couple of years, you don't want to start out of the gate with good teams because they could pop you early. You want to get rolling. I'm not a big fan of the opening night, drop your banner and to bring a good team in here and get popped and start the season 0-1 on Thursday.
Still going to be a good team on Sunday night, though.
Yeah, it's not going to be Kansas City, though. Yeah, shouldn't be. Hope not. Bring them here around week 5 or 6.
I mean, it could be Cowboys, Steelers, Chiefs. You got a lot of home teams. You got a lot of good teams coming here.
Yeah,
probably going to be a really good team.
I can see Cowboys. You know, not familiar with each other. It's too quick to go to Kansas City like that. So, you know, they don't want to do it for Kansas City's sake. They don't want to do it for
Yeah, I wouldn't
sake,
waste
you know?
It as a league in week
yeah,
one
I mean, right.
because you're not getting the best of either team.
That's a marquee matchup late or mid-season where you could have a ratings blockbuster there.
Yeah.
You know, bring the Cowboys
Schedule that
one
for November if you don't mind.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
Late October, November,
you don't want Steelers
something like that.
Steelers, Kansas City, don't want them in early. Don't want either team in early.
Yeah, so I expect that they will open on Sunday Night Football is what they will have. Sunday Night Football at home for the banner raising. And I mean,
Giants. How about the Giants?
Assuming that
it's a good opener.
If the legal situation is wrapped up before the season, which I would expect and hope that it is, I would really hope that it is, we assume that there will be a suspension that will be taking place at that time, right?
I mean, if it's going off the standard six-gamer that Irsay had, yeah.
Yeah. So that's something to factor in there.
And that just the fact that all 32 owners are held with a higher esteem, and they're going to be probably punished a little more than maybe a player would because you are an owner.
Yeah. There is a story out today from Elizabeth Nolan Brown on Reason.com. Yeah, just a blog post on the situation and this case involving all of the different spas that are being investigated. And it references the press conference that took place yesterday afternoon, just after 2 p.m., with Palm Beach District Attorney Dave Arenberg. She writes, at a press conference today, meaning yesterday, Palm Beach District Attorney Dave Arenberg spent most of his time talking about the theoretical horrors that could occur in situations like this, saying things such as modern-day slavery, as Arenberg called it, can happen anywhere, including in the peaceful community of Jupiter. She writes, however, no human trafficking charges were filed among the hundreds of current and coming prostitution charges. He admitted, adding that first-time offenders, like Robert Kraft, are very unlikely to get any significant time behind bars. Quote, there's no allegation that any defendant engaged in human trafficking, said Arenberg. She writes, police keep calling the women that worked at Orchids of Asia and other spas that were part of the sting, trafficking victims.
Catchy name, by the way, Orchids of Asia.
But most have declined to cooperate with police as such. Martin County Sheriff Snyder told CNN yesterday that police were having trouble getting one woman in custody to cooperate in explaining why they would go and allow themselves to be trafficked. Quote, they had the ability. They could have walked out onto the street and asked for help, he continued, noting that they often worked long hours and cooked food on a hot plate instead of leaving for meals, but they didn't. Instead of taking this as a sign that these women were willingly engaged in this work, police continue to seek ways to explain away this evidence. And the CNN host asked why they wouldn't speak their truth. Snyder claims that one woman said she was afraid people might hurt her family if she cooperated. So there's questions as to whether or not the people involved were actually trafficked. We haven't seen the evidence yet to support that. Police haven't provided that evidence yet. And you've got a sheriff from there on television saying they were free to leave at any point they wanted to, that they weren't being held against their will. And so this part of it, the stigma of the trafficking in women that's been attached to Robert Kraft in this, I thought that was it's unfair to begin with. That it'd be attached to any of the people that were there?
Correct.
Imagine if it doesn't even exist and it's not really a part of the story.
Yeah, and this is all you have, is they just got a couple Johns. Are they going to get all the John videos out? I mean, is it or just one that they're talking about releasing? And that's one of a Mr. Kraft.
So if that ends up being true, then it wasn't all bad news yesterday. But the report itself, the affidavit, yeesh. this story got worse day two than it was day one.
Well, this happens. I mean,
or day two of press conferences versus Friday is what I mean to say.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Howard's in Burlington. Hi, Howard.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hi, morning.
Good morning. So, hey, you know, first, this is here comes the bad, corny joke, but hopefully Kraft doesn't throw the proverbial red flag, because there will be no happy ending and the penalty might be stiffer. Anyway,
That's exactly what I tried to avoid.
And people are like, why didn't you take calls on a Friday? We're not going
to
do that.
That's why we're happy not to be on the air on Friday.
Yeah. Thank God. Because there are, I mean, let me just say this. That right there is not going away. Robert Kraft has made himself a punchline.
Yeah.
Has made himself a joke, a literal joke, I'm saying.
This is what I said yesterday. The embarrassment and what the repercussions of it and the way people are going to say and talk about and view you and the punchlines. And I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about people outside this region. That's people inside this region commenting like that. It's only going to get worse than that. Yeah.
But here it said good natured, punishment, Robert Kraft. Everyone else is just, you're the punchline.
Yeah.
There's jokes galore that can come out of a story like this. In fact, I can tell you that off the air, Zoe and I have come up with, we've tried to discover every single joke there is to make about this.
So I say, get ready for what people are going to call this. Yeah.
But I'm not engaging.
We're not
doing that on the calls. We're just not going to do this. Because it's a cheesy joke every time, and we've heard them all by now.
Who was that?
I don't know. Burlington.
Dick in Burlington?
Ha! And you just did what he did.
You want to be a dick? Yeah, that's being one right there.
Joe's in Winchester. Joe.
Yes, how you doing?
Hi, Joe.
How you doing, Joe? Hey, I loved when you were playing, buddy.
Thank you.
Me too.
It's getting paid more.
Did you like it? Did you enjoy it?
I like football. Yeah. We're going to talk about football and youth later, too. We're going to get to that.
All right, we'll talk about that later. I have a question, though. I mean,
stay with us.
If they videotaped this for 5 days and they caught him twice, don't you think he's done this before in his life?
Yes, probably.
Yeah.
It's not an unreasonable conclusion to draw, but why even draw it? He went twice in 2 days.
It doesn't matter.
On its own. You don't need anything else. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. Either way, it was twice in 2 days.
Did they get wind of it? Did they say, okay, guess who's coming to Florida? We got wind. Somebody's coming in Florida. Let's get this set up for the weekend. You know, I mean, that's just, stings are run this way.
Yeah.
The solicitation part, to me, becomes a lot more clear on day two, that there had to have been some level of solicitation based on the actions of day two, how brief the visit was,
and the actions that
took place in that brief period of time.
Can't explain it away for me, even if you go once, but day two, okay, now you can't explain it.
Well,
at all.
You know, you go to day one and say, well, I was in there for forty-five minutes and something happened at the end. Day two, from what I could see, there was no massage that was taking place.
Well, I didn't say.
From what I could read in that report, not from what I see with my own two eyes. And let me be honest. I don't ever really want to see that with my own two eyes. There's people that are like, oh, I can't wait for the video. Why?
Why?
You want to see that?
No.
I don't want to see that.
I don't.
I have no interest in that. Ed's in Raynham. Hi, Ed.
Oh, good phone, Ed.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing, Ed?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good.
Okay. We'll try Sam in Haverhill. Maybe he has a better phone. Sam.
Yes.
One
question. You guys are pretty intelligent. If Robert Kraft wasn't involved in this, you think this thing would be nationwide?
No, but he is involved. That's why it is nationwide.
Why? What about the other guys? What about the other billionaire that was there?
He's an executive from Waltham. His last name is Childs. I don't care.
Yeah.
Do you care?
No. No, I don't care either.
Well, that's right, because we don't know who he is. That's a weird argument. I've heard that. Well, it wouldn't be. The investigation.
Sadly, it does nothing for the case.
The investigation would have been taking place regardless of Robert Kraft being there. That investigation happened not because of Robert Kraft. No one's out to get Robert Kraft. They surveilled for 5 days. He showed up twice in the 5 days. Yes, we're hearing about it because we know who Robert Kraft is.
The hard one for me.
If any other high profile individual was involved, it would become nationwide. It would become a story. Name any other high-profile person in sports, it would have been a story. It would have made national news. Would it have been as big of a story as it is right now? Probably not, because the Patriots owner has a higher profile than most NFL owners,
right,
because of his importance within the league.
Right. And the tough part for me is you're engaged in a certain act on Saturday. A law enforcement officer pulls your car over that you're riding shotgun in,
yeah,
and asks for your ID. You went back Sunday. That's the tough part of this one, where hard to fight that. It's hard to fight that one.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I rented, potentially in Marcus Johansson. Again, we had the same opinion with in conversations that we had with Rick Nash last year, that we felt that you could explore that, and that might be the case as well. But we also were looking for a player who would be excited to join our club. I think his quick line was, I'd much rather be playing with Marshawn than against. And I think he's happy with knowing where our club is at currently, and the fact that he goes right into a competitive atmosphere, and where he fits in, a little bit to be determined. But again, the versatility is important to us.
Bruins GM Don Sweeney yesterday after the trade deadline passed at 3 p.m. Marcus Johansson coming to the Bruins. I remember him from the time that Brad Marchand delivered a vicious elbow to his face. And he missed a significant amount of time for that. Emily Kaplan and Greg Wyshynski cover the NHL for ESPN. You remember Wyshynski, Puck Daddy himself.
Oh, yeah.
They do the winners and losers of the NHL trade deadline today on their post on ESPN.com. Where do you think they have the Bruins, winner or loser?
Middle.
Loser. Them as a loser. Mm.
Losers!
They write, this one might be a little controversial. A little controversial, they write, and really depends on how much one admires the skills of Charlie Coyle and Marcus Johansson. Well, wait a minute. Can't those guys just be solid players?
And, that's why I said middle.
And you say, okay, they're solid players, but is that what you needed? Do you just need another couple of solid middle-of-the-pack players? Is that what you needed? Well, that's what they got. The Bruins needed to add a center and a second-line wing.
Second-line right wing, that's what you needed.
Coyle might end up being better as the latter than the former. It cost them Ryan Donato, who promptly scored an overtime winner for the Wild. By the way, I don't even factor that in. I don't care that they gave up Ryan Donato. Johansson simply doesn't have the same pop as some of the other wingers who moved around at the deadline. That is a fact. Mm. The good news for the Bruins is that its rivals in the East didn't really add much outside of the Columbus shopping spree. The bad news is the pieces the Bruins acquired don't necessarily fit snugly. They have them as a loser.
Not a lot of excitement here. This isn't Tomas Cabrera. It's not Rick Nash. It's not Jerome McGinley or how you go out and acquire these guys. You wanted the splash. You wanted the high-end guy that's going to help you put the damn puck in the net. I mean, honestly, you got to go and look it up. Oh, that's the guy Marchand took the swipe at. Oh, okay, that's who they got. That's where I'm at on it. Okay, you got another guy. Add some depth.
Yeah, you had some guys.
This is what you didn't want. You wanted them just to add depth. Team's pretty hot right now.
I wanted them to truly make an upgrade. A real upgrade.
Yeah.
They didn't do that.
No.
They added some.
So, it is what it is.
They added guys.
Roll with what you got, man.
I wanted them to make a bit of a splash. A little bit. And I thought that Ty Anderson, your boy Ty Anderson.
He's been everywhere.
He's been on the station nonstop.
He said he couldn't even eat a meal yesterday.
That's why we got him.
He's writing so much, he doesn't even have time to eat.
He's our in-house hockey guest. He's like on demand. He's like, yelled down the hallway.
Whittling away to nothing. The kid with walking around with a flat-brim hat. When it says NASA on it.
I heard him yesterday, and you know what? Now that I'm thinking back, I think it was Felger Maz playing a clip of Ty from yesterday morning on Toucher and Rich. He's been on both of those shows.
Yeah.
But they were playing a recap.
They were playing
a clip of Ty from earlier in the day.
From yesterday's appearance on Toucher and Rich.
Yes, from yesterday. Yes. Not today's yesterday.
We're hockey guys. We don't need a hockey guy.
And I would say this. I agreed with what Ty was saying. Ty was saying, listen, when you're in a year with this team and this current group, and you've got an aging veteran core. He didn't call them old. He just said they're getting older.
They're an expensive aging veteran crew.
Guys that are still big contributors. Zdeno Chara is in his 40s. He mentioned Patrice Bergeron entering his mid-30s. He said, when you've got a shot and you've got a good team, it makes it, you know, I'm paraphrasing, even a little bit more worth investing in and taking your shot and giving it all you can give it in a year like this. And I was with them, and then the trade deadline happened, and I don't feel they did that. I don't feel they put themselves in the best possible position at the deadline going forward, going to the playoffs and all of that. So I think if we're left disappointed at the end of the year, we're going to look back at the trade deadline and say, yeah, they probably should have done more. Should have done more. And they didn't. So, hey, the good news is they're playing well right now, and those veteran players are playing well, and, you know, they could get David Pastrnak back in as soon as a couple of weeks. And they've also added some depth. So they're not worse. I could say that. They're not a worse team. They're definitely a better team, but by how much? That's really the question. I don't feel like they're that much better. 617-779-0985. Mark is in Georgetown. Hey, Mark.
What's up, guys? Long time no talk.
Good to hear from you.
What's up?
What's up, guys? Hey, listen, I'm still like trying to get over yesterday. It's not so much, guys, that they missed out on these players. If I saw Stone going for some astronomical price, like everybody was going around saying, I was like, okay, all right, I get it. You don't want to kind of pay through the teeth for that guy. But essentially, they traded him for what's the equivalent of like Urho Vakanainen, another prospect, and a second round pick. Now, granted, maybe because he signed that crazy extension in Vegas, that might have held the whole thing up. Okay, I get it. Wayne Simmons. Has anybody looked up Ryan Hartman's stats? Has anybody looked at his stat line, this kid that he got traded for? He's got 10 goals and 10 assists. He's a +7. That's not even Danton Heinen. And a fifth-round pick? Are you kidding me? I really can't fathom why this guy is so – what are you holding on to? What are you going to play every prospect you have in the farm system on the team at the same time? That's not going to happen. It's just unrealistic, man. It's when I see these reasonable prices being paid for guys. If anything – less than what they're worth. I can't help but stomach. I go, the Bruins could have did that. We have those draft picks. We have those prospects. We have better guys than this guy traded for them. I can't fathom what is this guy holding on to? Or what is his, like, what's his aim? What's his angle? I don't get it with Sweeney.
Something tells me, Mark, something tells me you're not upset about trading away Donato.
Oh, I don't give a... Oh, I would have drove that kid to friggin' Minnesota. I don't care if it's Brian Donato.
It is Harvard Letterman's jersey.
I would have traded Donato for a Jerome McGinley right now, sitting home in Calgary, Alberta. I don't care about Ryan Donato. I don't care about any of these prospects. I don't think they're that good. Forsbacher Carlson, you stink. Who's the other kid? What's his name? Oh, my God, I keep forgetting. But even still, it's just... Donato, I'm sorry, he was the other one. You don't do anything. Trade these guys while they're still worth something, because it's either that or people know the Bruins prospects suck and they don't want them.
I love it. Mark is back in full force. It had been a while. It had been a while, but we gave him the full 2 minutes there. Wow. Is he fired up? He's one of our best Bruins callers. Always fired up about the Bees. And there you go. I think Ginla lives around here now.
He was training around here, right?
He made his permanent residence somewhere in this area.
Somebody saw him skate in one of these local joints. Yeah.
He would have driven to the house, dropped off Donato, picked up a Gimla.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, bringing our Bruins expert from Nesson. It's Billy Jaffe. Hi, Billy.
Yo, what's up, buddy? How are you?
You sound excited today.
Hi, Bill.
You sound like you're in a good mood. Why?
You know why? I'm feet away, literally feet away from where Zoe and Beetle and Hardy and producer Jim usually sit on Thursdays. I'm feet away from it.
We'll be there Thursday. Why don't you come now?
Thursday.
Yeah, why don't you come say hi?
You guys don't like it when I come say hi. You always give me crap for some reason.
What are you talking about? We're always thrilled to see you.
We'd much rather do a phoner.
I'll be there. No, I'll be there. Although, we aren't doing the game Thursday. I'll still come by probably to say hi. Just you guys. I'm in a good mood. I am. I just got back from New Jersey from the NHL Network. Spent about 6-7 hours on the air yesterday blabbing about trades and no trades and no trade clauses, and I've got a little energy right now. I'm going to need a little coffee, I think, later today to get me going. But otherwise, I'm in a great mood.
Did you do winners and losers of the trade deadline on NHL Network yesterday?
No, we didn't, actually. Right.
Well, if you were doing that, which category would you put the Bruins in out of the teams at the deadline?
I would say that they definitely didn't lose. I wouldn't say they were big winners. I would say they're in the middle. I would say that they're a better team than they were before Beetle. But I don't think, you know, I know some people don't like the fact they didn't get a big fish. There's a lot of caveats to why perhaps they didn't get him. I think they tried, from everything I heard, that they tried numerous different tacks to get different players. I like the fact that they added somebody with term. I know Coyle wasn't a deadline day deal, but I think you guys understand he's part of the trade deadline deal. And then, you know, the Johansson thing, I'm actually really good with that move. I've always liked him. He's a better player than many people realize. I think that it's a nice move. Is it earth shattering? No, but Beetle and Bill and Hardy, I think it's a nice move.
And Jim. Jim's here too. Yep.
Nice move. Is it going to make a noticeable difference?
They didn't get significantly better.
Well, that's what I'm asking Billy. I don't know. Do they get better at all to the point where we'll be able to notice? Okay.
Well, it should be, because the third line was this, at times, abyss. The third line was playing fourth line minutes because the fourth line had played so well, but also they had to. They had to elevate to a different level, and good for them that they did. Now you've got many different ways that you can maneuver your third line, and I think you have some legitimate pieces. I mean, you know, Johansson played first line minutes with Backstrom and Ovechkin a couple of years ago. He played an awful lot with young guys in New Jersey, don't get me wrong. And by the way, he's playing his best hockey of the year right now, which is always nice to get a guy, at least when he's feeling his best. His big issue the last couple of years is his health. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. But remember, one of those issues was something that happened against the Boston Bruins, and Marchand caught him up high.
Hey, you say they tried to do everything. You get a chuckle out of the gamesmanship, putting Pastrnak on the ice yesterday, skate around, even though he didn't grip a stick?
I don't get a chuckle.
It's trade deadline day and he's out there skating, like, maybe we'll lower the price for him.
It's a message from the team is the other notion, that it's like, we don't even need anybody. Look, Pastrnak's out here skating.
Yeah.
Right, and it was at the 2-week time, and so that also sends the message, all right, we're at our 2 weeks, here's your update type of thing. I get that. Gamesmanship around, like, listen, people always talk to me about or ask me about that set the trade market, meaning one certain trade. I always say every trade is different. I kept hearing that, you know, Wayne Simmons, the price for Wayne Simmons was huge. It was first-round pick and a top prospect, and that's what they kept asking for. So many other teams backed away. You know, Winnipeg backed away from that. They went out and paid a heavy price for Kevin Hayes. I think the Bruins, they were absolutely talking to Philly about it, and I think they just finally said, well, screw it. We're going to go get somebody else because this price hasn't come down. And Philadelphia ended up having to trade him to Nashville. I think that was the last good deal, at least somewhat good, on the table right there. So I always think that things get reset. The whole Pastrnak thing coming out and skating, I don't think it was so much gamesmanship as it was saying, okay, we told you we'd give you an update in 2 weeks. Here he is skating. He's going to be at least another 2 weeks before he's playing, at least.
All right, so in the aftermath of the trade deadline, Billy Jaffe, what do the Bruins' lines look like?
That's going to be a great question.
That's why I'm asking.
Are we assuming Pastrnak's healthy? If you're without Pastrnak, you go Marchand, Bergeron, and Heinen, and then I think you go DeBrusk on the left, and you go Krejci in the middle, and then Johansson on the right. I still think you stick with Charlie Coyle and David Backes on your third line. Now, whether it's Solaric or Joakim Nordstrom there, and then you keep the Achari line together. Now you get Pastrnak back, Beetle. Then you got a lot more different options,
or a logjam, depending on how you look at it.
Look, they've got nice play out of Carson Kuhlman. They've got nice play out of Solaric. And by the way, those were paper moves yesterday. I can't see the ice completely here because I'm not officially in the Zoe Beetle Hardy Louth area yet. But I can see some players on the ice. I don't know if Kuhlman and Solaric are back up or not. But they do have options. And you know what? They didn't have options, Beetle, before the trade deadline. I'm not saying this is the end all be on what they did, but this makes them a better team.
Yeah, there was a report that they weren't on the ice in Providence this morning. So after yesterday, would they be recalled, like, already?
Yeah, because what that is, Hardy, is there's a thing called clearing day for the American Hockey League.
Yeah.
And you want you need to have your roster set for certain guys to be able to go play in the AHL playoffs. So many teams yesterday made paper transaction moves.
Gotcha. All right.
You feel bad about the Donato thing? Like, it's not going to come to fruition here? Like, the kid's a good story. You know, last year you had fun.
No, I don't feel bad about it. I mean, I got to know Ryan pretty well. I really, you know, I think he's a great kid. Do I think it's... No, because, you know, this is the game. I mean, he grew up in the game. He knew it with his dad. So he's excited, obviously, for an opportunity. Charlie Coyle is very excited for this opportunity. So, I don't feel bad about it. I you know, he could end up having a great career in Minnesota. He, you know, we all know he's got things to work on, but that's normal for young kids. In the meantime, they get a guy, and you guys, I'm sure, have talked about this last, you know, previously. They get a guy who is just entering the prime of his career between, you know, the physical and mental part of the game, and I think gives you more looks, more options right now than Ryan Donato did in Charlie Coyle.
All right, Billy. Appreciate the time and the insight. Enjoy the time over there.
Hey, Bill.
Pastrnak skating, yay, nay? What's the deal there?
I did not. When I got here about 15 minutes ago, I did not see him on the ice.
Yeah, shocked.
I did not see him on the ice.
Yeah, I'm so surprised.
Update day was yesterday.
So surprised.
Mm-hmm. Convenient. All right, Bill.
You guys are the best.
See you Thursday, Billy.
Thanks, Billy.
See you Thursday.
See you later.
Bring me food.
Billy Jaffe.
Sure. Yes. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. Write that down. Billy Jaffe of Nesson, pregame, postgame, and of course also NHL Network, as he was working round the clock yesterday for the trade deadline.
Shocked that Pastrnak isn't out there.
Oh, stunned.
He might be out there.
Must have had a setback from yesterday. Yeah.
Well, they're going to reevaluate the thumb. Billy's right. They're right on schedule.
Must have had a setback.
They're right on schedule.
Thumb was sore today.
Oh, you Bruins. You're so
cool. No, but I mean, we laugh at it, but that's what you're supposed to do.
That's what they're doing. Trot
them out there, get them out there.
Get out there in your uniform.
Get out there, get them skating.
One thing I wish I would have brought up with Billy, and we'll be able to talk about it more on Thursday, but you know, the notion that, you know, they're playing well right now, so they didn't have to. A lot of overtime and shootout wins. I'll take the wins, and it shows you something when a team can finish and get a win like that. And 4-1 on that road trip, that's impressive. But they, you know, they weren't winning these games 4-0. You know, they weren't blowing out really, really good teams. They were evenly matched for the most part, and they were getting some gutsy wins at the end.
Yeah,
those could go either way.
But that tells you, though, when you're finding the ways to win consistently, right?
Yeah.
The way they have, that's a team worth investing in. They've obviously got something that's working for them, but they could use more.
Or a team that you don't want to mess with the chemistry too much. You could argue that both ways.
Mm. Yeah. I mean... Mm. When you're talking about trading prospects and draft picks, how much would you really mess with the chemistry? Yeah.
You're adding significant pieces by the additions, not the subtractions. The additions. You mess with it that way.
Suspect.
I said it's an argument, not one that I necessarily fully believe in.
I don't think it's a good one. But I did have a good question about the lines.
That's a good question.
I'm like, well, that's why I'm asking you. You're the expert.
All right, Edward R. Murrow over here.
Yes, good night and good luck. Let's get to the headlines.
That's going to be a great question. They added a forward.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Get to the headlines. Just 90
Johnny
seconds.
Hockey.
No commercials. Billy does have Please to don't know, call
like,
me that.
Billy does have to fill time, right? Because, like, okay, it's a good question. What do I say here now as I wait and I think how I will answer? You know, that's a very good question, Beatles. I am thinking of how I am going to answer
this. He's a Wolverine. He's a little thick.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.